Well, good morning. It is great to be here this morning. Amen. People driving by will say, wow, sure is a rainy Sunday. That's bad luck for those people going to church. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. Well, preacher, how could it not be bad? How do you see a blessing in the rain? Well, some people looked out this morning and saw, it's raining. I don't feel like going to church this morning. And, we're not going to throw stones because I know that there's not one person in here that's got a 100% attendance record. But you looked out this morning and you saw that it was raining and you said, you know what, I'm going to go. I'm going to brave the elements and I'm going to be there. I'm going to see my brothers and sisters. I'm going to worship God this morning. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to sing. I'm going to pray. And that's going to be a blessing to you this morning, even in the wind and the rain. But on top of that, you can be encouraged that God's important to you. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I personally need to know that it's working. I need to know that God's Holy Spirit is real and is working in my life and is causing me to do things that go against my natural desires and the flesh. And a day like today, on a small thing like just going to church in the rain, you can tell you it's working. Now that don't jump off the deep end, because we tend to do that, don't we? If it's something good for me and it's not working, it's someone else in here. It's not that it ain't working for them. Let's just worry about you right now. Let's just worry about us. It's working. God's calling us out of our flesh. He's calling us out of our comfort. And in something as small as going to church when it's raining out, we can find a blessing in that. We can find an internal, personal, man, God really is real to me. So, man, it's bad luck, it's rain. Maybe, maybe not. This morning, I want to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit more. Last week, we talked about being thankworthy, being thankable. Now, I don't know if I enunciated that enough, because after church and throughout the week, I told people, oh yeah, we're thankful, and I want to be thankful. I said, no, I wasn't saying be thankful, be thankable, be able to be thanked, be the kind of person that shows up and shows up like Christ, be the kind of person that when people talk about you, they can say, man, I thank God for them because they embody Christ to me, because they bless my life, because they give me so much. Maybe they give me financial help. They give me encouragement. They give. And so be thankable. Today, we're going to talk about being thankful. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and specifically verse 28. If you got your Bibles, and Eli was up here and read that so well. Now, Eli is about 12 feet tall, and he's a long way away from the mic. So I'm just going to, and you can't turn it up so loud because, if you do, you'll hear planes flying around. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, I want to emphasize that. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom, since we're receiving this kingdom, be thankful. He says, it cannot be shaken. Be thankful. So we are called to be thankful. Now, to be thankful is a specific activity. And it's important for us, remember last week, I want to reiterate this. There's a difference between being thankful for something and being glad about something. We're going to talk about that for the next couple of this week and next week, the big difference. And now, one of the things that I want to do, this feels like it's pointing at me. I want y'all to see that. Take the next step. One thing I want y'all to do is broaden our idea of God. Broaden our idea of what we already think about. Because that's what I'm trying to do. And I'm not standing up here saying, oh, I have arrived, just like Paul. Not that I've already obtained it. Not that I've already reached it. But I'm working on it. I'm going towards that. And so I want to encourage my people, my church, to go with me as we broaden our idea, broaden our vision, broaden our awareness, broaden our experience of God. And so I want us to broaden our understanding of what it is to be thankful. And it's the difference between being glad. I can be glad I've got something because it's all about my comfort. It's all about me. And if I didn't have it, my life would somehow be a lot less comfortable. But thankful is completely different. So there's a few things that I want us to, and I don't know if this is on the back. I don't think it is. But the first thing about being thankful is you have to recognize that something has been done or given. See, there's being glad is just happy that something's in my life, as opposed to not being in my life. Being thankful is recognizing that what you have or what's been done has in fact been given. Another thing, you got to accept our inability to do or to get whatever it is on our own. To be thankful, not only do I got to recognize that something's been done or given, but I've also got to accept that I could not or would not do or get that on my own. We also have to embrace what it is that's been given. We have to embrace what it is that's been done for us. And part of that is then conveying a message of appreciation. You see, it's one thing to notice something that's been done or given to you. It's a whole nother thing to embrace it, to appreciate it, to utilize it. Just think about, we're going to get onto this, but just think about this. Maybe write this on your order of worship or on the back of your, when you're taking notes. Do I utilize the blood of Christ properly? I don't know if I thought about that. Might be, you know, do I utilize? Well, yeah, I mean, I need it because that's what forgives me for my sins. That's what breaks down the barriers. But then do I utilize it? Do I take that with me and use it the way that it is intended to be used? Because it's intended not only as a ticket to heaven, but it's a shield from everything else that goes on. It's a shield against our mistakes made on behalf of God. Do I utilize, just meditate on that. Maybe that, make that your prayer. If you hear nothing else, pray that, God, help me understand, how do I better utilize, accept, embrace, appreciate, put to work in my life? And it's not the way that the, you know, first century people are like, oh, well, I'll utilize it, I'll just sin more. No. By heavens, by no means. Now, what Paul said in Romans, how do I utilize the blood of Christ? So in Hebrews 12 and 28, when he says that, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot, that will not be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with remembrance, or with reverence, and with awe. Let us so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Now, that's a term that gets a lot of mileage, is worshiping God acceptably. And here it is defined for us. It is with reverence and it is with awe. The reality is that true thanksgiving brings us into the presence of God. True thanksgiving. Not inventorying our stuff, not inventorying our circumstances that we're glad are the way that they are, because, man, it would really be uncomfortable if they weren't the way that they are. But coming into the presence of God, all of those four things on the slide previous, the recognizing something's been done or given, accepting an inability to do or to gain on our own, embracing what's been done, and then conveying them, all of that brings us into the presence of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about. What it looks like to be in the presence of God. What it is that we truly have to be thankful for. Because we are called to be thankful. So the question then becomes, what are we called to be thankful for? What is it that God says, Shane, I want you to be thankful for this? Because in Thessalonians and in Philippians, he says, be thankful for all things and be thankful in all things. So everything and all circumstances, I am to be thankful. Now, if we you don't have to go back on the slide, Hyatt, but go back in your notes. Remember what I just said is that being thankful brings us to the presence of God. Hebrews 12 and 28 says, He's given us His kingdom. It can't be shaken. So therefore, be thankful and worship God. Worship is recognizing the presence. And so since His presence is everywhere and we can be aware of that, being thankful is being in the presence of God. And so in Thessalonians say, in all circumstances and for all things, recognize that God is in that situation. So if God, we're called to be thankful. And Philippians says to endure everything with thanksgiving. So we're called to be thankful. But what are we to be thankful for? You know, yesterday, Vic and I got a jump on our Christmas shopping. And so we were in Nashville at the Opryland Mall there. And boy, that's big. Now, some of you are thinking, well, you didn't rake leaves? No, I didn't rake leaves. But I did send two leaf raking by proxy gentlemen. And so they did. They raked leaves for me. And they did a decent job, I hear, when they weren't arguing about who was not going to tell who how to rake properly. But no, we were doing our Christmas shopping. And as I was sitting on the obligatory bench with all the other dudes that were done being in the stores, there's that nod that, hey, how you doing? Yeah. And we've all got our little fort of bags around us that we're guarding, you know. Yeah, you want to move that because it's getting close to, you know, that. And then our wives, they would just kind of bring by stuff and just drop it off. Hey, I'm going in there. And we gather, okay, all right. You know, and then people walk, don't get away from my bags. This is my bags right here. You know. As I was sitting there looking around, and I thought, where is God in all of this? I mean, I don't know if you guys, every time I go to a ball game or anything, I think, where is God in all of this? And it started making me think as I was looking at, and I'm part of it. Don't think I'm preaching down. I'm part of it too, and I hate that. I hate that I'm caught up in all of this that I'm getting ready to preach against. And I'm trying. Your preacher's trying. But the just glut of consumerism, the glut of self-absorption, it was all about, how much more can I procure? How much more can I pile on? How much more comfort can I? I mean, everything that we do is about procuring stuff and more comfort. And I just thought, you know, I think the church is missing it on a lot of things. Because, boy, we'll hammer about all kinds of issues. And we're asleep. I mean, we will, and it's fine. We will come out and protest or have meetings about same-sex marriages. But guys, greed and consumerism and gluttony is more of a plague on this country and our society than that has a chance of ever being. Because there's no same-sex marriages going on in here, but every one of us and the preacher are caught up in a lifestyle of greed, consumerism, pursuit of comfort. When God calls us to a completely different life. And I know my kids are thinking, great, now we're getting nothing for Christmas. No, you're fine. I wish I was stronger. I wish I were stronger. And I wish I wasn't continuing on a tradition of being consumers instead of being Christians. Because when we go around the table at Thanksgiving, and probably 8 out of 10 tables are going to do this. All right, before we eat, what are you thankful for? We go around the room and, okay, I'm thankful for my family. Everybody should be thankful for their family. Maybe, maybe not. You know, I'm thankful for my family. Oh, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my new car. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful. But let's look at what God calls us to be thankful for. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, and I know we're going to get through these 3 points because the points in this sermon are to be meditated on. They're not just to be listened to and you know, clever, but they're to be meditated on because this is broadening our awareness, our vision of God. But in chapter 12, let's start in verse 14 of Hebrews. And just there, I'm going to read down through this so we can get a vision. Then I'm going to make these points. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy without holiness, no one can see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up because trouble and defile many. Guys, I'm telling you, the days of being able to read this all week and then read it without my glasses are over. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those heard of it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight of it was terrifying. And Moses said, I'm trembling with fear, but you have come to Mount Zion. See, he's remembering Mount Sinai. And he said, no, that's not what you're about. You've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to a thousands upon thousands of angels singing in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than that of Abel. See to it that none of you refuse him who speaks. They don't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And he goes on to talk about that unshakable kingdom. He says, so be thankful and worship God in reverence and awe. You know what we are to be thankful for? You know what God calls us to be thankful for? He doesn't call us to inventory our stuff or our circumstances. Here he says, be thankful for a God who speaks. In all of our years of going around the table, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful? Have we ever said, I am thankful for a God who speaks? If you think about all of the other religions, combine them all and just audit them, and dissect all of God's worship, past, present, and future, do you realize that the very nature of God sets him apart because he is the only communicating God that has ever been or ever will be. Our God speaks. And that is wholly His transcendent difference from all of the false gods and made up carved idols and chiseled stone, is that it is a two-way conversation when we come before the God of heaven. We are thankful for a God who speaks. And what does it look like to be thankful for that God? A God who speaks, who communicates, who proves who He is. The first thing that God speaks is through His holiness. In Hebrews 12, 18 through 24, He talks about this holiness. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, He says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." Do you know what 1 Corinthians 15 and the preceding verses talk about? Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? We do not fear death, not because it's not going to happen, but because God has transmitted to us this Jesusness, this holiness. Isn't that what Romans 5 and 17, if you've got your Bibles, turn on over to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at, "It is by the trespass of the one man, death." He's talking about Adam in verse in Romans 5. Howard, have y'all gotten to Romans 5 yet or passed it? We're in 4. Okay. Thunder stolen. You know on Sunday mornings what you're getting ready to study in depth? Is the holiness, the righteousness, the God speaking to us through His holiness. I tell you what, look in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, just as sin entered," this is the history of sin, the history of the transgression of man, the history of the separation between God and man. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law there was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even though those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern for the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass." I love that. I love that. The gift. So now we got to do is figure out, what's the gift? The gift that is given. Remember, we have to recognize something was done or given to us that we couldn't do or get on our own. So the gift, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift, there's that word again, that came by the grace of the one. So the gift's not the grace. The gift came by the grace. The grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. God's given us this gift that speaks to us, that speaks through us. And that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so, you know what we're thankful for? That when we stand before God, as believers in His holiness, as trusters in His death, burial, and resurrection, as we stand before Him, you know how we stand before Him? We stand before Him in the righteousness of Christ. He speaks to us through His holiness. He speaks through us through His holiness. The second way that God speaks is through His blood. Hebrews 12 and 24 talks about the blood of Christ that speaks a better word than that of Abel. In Genesis 4, 10 through 12, that's the story of Cain killing his brother. And then God says, "Cain, where's your brother?" "Well, I don't know. My brother's keeper." He says, "Well, I know where he is. His blood cries out to me." And you know what the blood of Abel cries out? It cries out condemnation. But Galatians 3 and 13 tells us that the blood of Christ takes away all of that condemnation, because, you know, the blood of Abel calls out a curse. The blood of Christ takes away the curse. Because Jesus not only takes away the curse, He becomes the curse for us. And so the blood of Christ, according to Romans 8 and 1, reminds us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is no condemnation. The blood of men cries out condemnation for other men. The blood of Christ calls out no more. So He speaks to us through His blood. He takes the curse. He doesn't reverse it. He becomes it. So that we can stand before God uncursed by the sin that took place, by the sin nature that we inherited all the way back to the beginning. So we're thankful for a God who speaks not only through His holiness, but through His blood, His physicality, His willingness to transmit that to us. He also speaks through His kingdom. It says we are receiving, in Hebrews 12, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know the neat thing about the verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom. You know what that means? That is currently going on. That doesn't necessarily just mean, now it does talk about a kingdom that's coming in its entirety on that day when the new Jerusalem descends and we all dwell in perfect peace, in perfect harmony with God forever. But He's saying that right now, ongoing in the present, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know how God speaks to us through His kingdom? Matthew 4 and 23, Jesus goes throughout all of Judea preaching about the kingdom of God. He turns around and He sees all these people follow Him. Oh man, we want to hear about this kingdom. We want to hear about this. And so He tells them the Sermon on the Mount, or he teaches them. And then in Luke chapter 10 and 9, He sends out all these people to do things. He says, heal them and cure them and comfort them and give them a word of peace and tell them that the kingdom of God is near you. He says, the kingdom is now. And we are receiving something that cannot be shaken. We can let go of it. We can tear it down ourselves, but it can't be shaken from outside. You know what it means is that when we receive, when we believe in God's kingdom and we're a part of something, when we are here on a rainy day worshiping God, when we're making decisions based on the truth and the reality, the will of God, nothing can deter us from that. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Can anything turn you from the path that you are on? Can anyone ridicule you out of a decision that you are making that goes against the flesh, that goes against society, that goes against all of the natural tendencies and desires of man? Can anyone ridicule you out of making that choice and going with the kingdom choice? Because the kingdom cannot be shaken. And citizens of that kingdom worship God in reverence and in awe. And so this morning we're here to thank God for worship. Because when circumstances are going south, when blessings, stuff, when inventory of goods is getting low, well, we can remember we're part of a kingdom that can't be shaken. Oh, where is your God now? Oh, He's right next to me. Yeah, but Paul, Silas, you guys are in prison and you guys are being beaten and you guys are being ridiculed and you guys are incarcerated. Where is your God now? You know where their God is? He is right there and he is embodied in their worship. Remember them singing in prison? That's this verse all day long. Thank you, God. Because you're here. You're right next to me. But you're in some kind of real bad circumstances. But God, his kingdom can't be shaken. But you don't have any stuff, Paul. Everything that you've got's been taken away, and you're hungry, and you're starving. Oh, I know, but I've learned to be content, whether hungry or well-fed, whether in prison or free, whether good times or bad times. I know what it is to be content. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, because I'm part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thank you, God, for worship. Because at any time and in any place, in the middle of any circumstances, God is there. And we can recognize that. And we can sing and we can pray and we can fall face down before Him. And we can worship Him in reverence and in awe. This Thanksgiving season, can we thank God for the rain, for the sunshine, for the snow, for the heat, for the good times, for the bad, for the broken down transmissions, and the friends who will gladly give you a ride? Can we thank God for the food that we have? And then those days when food is scarce, can we thank God for the opportunities to go and to serve? We thank God for the stuff that we have that we can take over and share with the people that have no stuff, to see the smile on their face, and then we can tell them, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you have that smile on your face. Hayden's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song. What's our last song, Hayden? The battle belongs to the Lord. It's a tough battle. It's hard. It's hard to fight the secret sin. It's hard to fight the greed, the gluttony. It's hard to fight the desire for comfort. But can we be thankful for worship? Can we give that battle to the Lord as together we stand and as we sing?